Yes, that's Tim Grimm with his new single called Woody's Landlord. And yes, indeed, Woody Guthrie did, in fact, rent an apartment from Donald Trump's father in New York City. And now it's time for our fourth Friday Focus with the Oregon Center for Public Policy. Today, our guest is a Harvard Law School graduate, international policy analyst, and is now working with the Oregon Center for Public Policy, manages communication strategies, media relations, and conducts outreach, and is a key member of the center's policy team, Juan Carlos Ordonez. Welcome to KMEZ.
Hi, Mark. Great to be on the show again.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking your valuable time and sharing it with our listeners. And I was surprised at your, well, I guess we have a couple things to talk about. And we just passed Measure 101. And so is there any aftermath? Is there, you know, how long is this tax on the insurance companies and providers going to be in place? Is it a Band-Aid? Is it a permanent fix? Tell us a little bit about what happened and what's next.
Yeah, it's a great place to start for sure. I think it was a great week for Oregon and Oregonians. The health care of up to a million Oregonians who get their health coverage through the Oregon Health Plan hung in the balance. So they can breathe a lot easier knowing that they will be able to see a doctor when they need to. And it was also encouraging that it was such a decisive win for the yes side on Measure 101. Now, as you point out, there are some things that are still remain to be decided. The assessments that were there at the core of Measure 101 are temporary assessments. So what that means is that the Oregon legislature is going to have to come back in 2019 and figure out, provide either a permanent or extend these assessments. But ultimately, we need a permanent fix to how it is that we cover Oregon's share of the cost of the Medicaid expansion under Obamacare. This piece of Obamacare has been key in not just in Oregon, but across the country, in increasing health coverage for folks. So Oregon will need to come back, our lawmakers will need to come back in 2019 and find a solution. But I think that the decisive outcome in Measure 101 certainly bodes well for a positive outcome. Beyond the matter of what to do about how to pay for the Medicaid expansion, there's still some other issues to deal with on the healthcare front. For one, there's still about 6% roughly of Oregonians who do not have health coverage, and so it is a high priority to figure it out how it is that we complete the job of making sure that all Oregonians have health coverage. And the other piece to go along with it is how to lower costs, because costs are still too high. The ultimate goal is to get to a place where everyone in Oregon has access to quality, affordable health coverage. And so that work still remains to be done.
So there's a 6% of folks who are making too much money to get on the Oregon Health Plan, and they're somehow not hooked up with the exchange or getting anything from the Affordable Care Act.
That's right. That's by and large the core of the problem, where you know their wages are still too low to easily afford health insurance, and they don't get health coverage through their work.
Hmm. Wow. Well, there's more in the future to look at, and thanks for that update. Now, one thing I was reading some links that you sent me, and I had no idea. I don't know how it passed me by, so it must have passed by several of our listeners, in that Oregon sort of beat the federal government to the punch in giving some tax breaks to folks that are primarily wealthy through this idea of pass-through income. And this happened in 2013. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
Yeah, and just to set the context a little bit, I mean, folks, I'm sure, have been hearing a lot about the federal tax plan that got enacted in December, and it was a huge tax bill. It contained a bunch of provisions. One of those is a tax break on what's called pass-through income, which is the income that owners of entities such as S corporations, partnerships, limited liability companies, they get taxed on the business itself does not get taxed, but rather the profits are passed on to the owner of the company and then are taxed at the individual level. So these folks just got a big tax break at the federal level. But as you say, Oregon beat the Trump administration to the punch in that in 2013, the Oregon legislature during the, if maybe folks will remember this, the so-called grand bargain session in 2013, that grand bargain contained a tax package that included the, a similar, not identical, but similar provision in that it gave the owners of pass-through businesses a big tax cut, a reduction on their tax rate. And so at the time of the grand bargain, the Oregon Center for Public Policy, we made a lot of noise and we published a lot of analysis showing this is going to be a big tax break for some of Oregon's richest taxpayers, richest families. And in fact, now that the data is in, the actual tax returns are in for at least 2 years, 2015 and 2016, we know it's been confirmed that, in fact, this is mainly a tax break for very rich folks. Just to give you a sense, the tax break, 69% of all the tax benefits from this tax loophole are going to people making over $500,000 a year.
Wow.
And yeah, and half a million dollars a year puts you deep into the territory of the top 1%. So it's very wealthy folks who are primarily benefiting from this. Another you can also look at the bottom end of this income scale to get a sense of just how unbalanced this thing is. Folks making $100,000 or less, and that's the vast majority of Oregonians. That broad group of Oregonians together are taking about 1% of this tax break. So it's really a tax break that is structured to benefit very wealthy folks in our state. And this is coming in at a time of record levels of income inequality. So the last thing we should be doing right now is giving giveaways to the rich to further pad their bank accounts. And so it really is high time that the Oregon legislature say this was a big mistake and let's undo it.
Now, is the amount per year, I think you said it's about $300 million per biennium or per year that that this tax break is reducing our revenues?
So that's the current projections. It is projected that in future budget periods, future biennia, it will reach the cost of about $300 million. So, which is quite a chunk of change when it comes to Oregon's budget. It's certainly a significant figure. Right now, we have data for 2 years, for 2015 and 2016, which and the first tax year, the cost of it was about $66 million. It went up quite significantly in 2016 to $96 million or so. So the cost is rising, and so it's projected to on a 2 year budget period to eventually cost about $300 million.
Now, this is something that's not available to, say, a sole proprietor. You have to be organized as some sort of a partnership or a corporation.
Right. And you also, there's certain limitations on it. So you have to be an active partner in the business. You can't be just an investor putting money into the business and get the tax break. And it also applies to take advantage of it. You have to employ at least one person full time, or at least add up to a full time staff member.
Besides yourself.
Right, you can't just be an independent contractor and just working by yourself and take the benefit of it. For folks to understand this, who this really is benefiting? It's benefiting a lot of folks, such as the partners at law firms that are bringing in a lot of money. Doctors who have their private practice, accountants. A lot of those are fairly typical. Folks who are taking advantage of this tax break. So what it means is, to put it in plain terms, is that the partner at a well-heeled law firm, who's bringing in a lot of money, that partner is paying a lower tax rate than their paralegal or secretary. That's what it means. And it just goes to show how unfair and wrongheaded this tax loophole is.
Now, this applies to state taxes, then. Entirely.
Yes, this applies to So this is a tax break that Oregon enacted in 2013.
Yeah.
Separate from that, many of these folks, it's not quite exactly the same, but many of these folks just got a tax break on their pass through income, thanks to the federal tax plan.
So on their federal taxes. So now I understand correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the Oregon top income tax bracket like 11%?
It is 9.9%.
Oh, it's 9.9.
The high 9.9. That's the highest tax bracket. It got higher than it got up to 11% temporarily a few years ago. But the current level is 9.9%.
So then, on the pass through income, these folks would be paying something less than that.
That's right. Yeah. So so they have that option, and of course they're going to take the option of a lower tax rate on that. What it means is and you can take this have this lower tax rate, and it's on a sliding scale, so it begins to the you can get a tax rate of 7% on income, and I don't have it memorized right now exact income thresholds, but it begins at 7%, it begins to increase up to 8% or so over a very long span of income. But what it, just put in terms, and there's a limit up to $5 million where you can get the lower the lower tax rate than you otherwise would pay. But for someone, for example, making $5 million a year in pass-through income, they're getting a tax break of about close to $80,000 a year.
Wow. Now, I noticed the projection of the $300 million. That number is amazingly close to the amount of money raised by Measure 101.
It is in the ballpark. Yeah, that is very true. It is a very significant chunk of money. It's a complete waste of taxpayer funds to be subsidizing the rich business owners in this fashion.
I think we need to maybe just mention it one more time that it looks like 99% of the benefits of this tax break are going to people who make over $100,000 a year.
Right. Yeah. That's right. And close to 70% of the tax benefits are going to folks making over $500,000 a year. So, it's very skewed to the top.
Now, the rationale for these tax breaks to the wealthy, of course, is that they're going to suddenly decide to work on a smaller margin and hire a bunch of people that they didn't need before the tax break. Is there any sign that folks in these kinds of businesses are hiring more people and sharing the windfall?
No, there's absolutely no evidence. And in fact, the purported justification back then, and probably some people would try to assert it now, is that it'll incentivize the business owners to hire more people. But it's just absurd on its face. I mean, the tax provision has no requirement that you actually hire anybody. They just get the money, even if they completely pocket the money, which is what they are going to do. If you need to hire an employee to be more productive, then you'll just hire them out of the income that you're getting.
Well, and it's certainly no need to hire someone if you don't need them. That's what I learned in business school.
That's right. And if you hire someone, you get to deduct that from the business, so it reduces the amount of taxes that you pay. And ultimately, for most people, like I said, you need to make you get a tax break of about $80,000 if you have about $5 million in income that you get passed through to your business. And with that kind of money, you could hire someone. But for most folks who are taking advantage of this, it'll be maybe $5,000, $10,000 that they'll get. That's not enough to hire someone. But it is a big loss of revenue for the state of Oregon. Money that could be much better spent investing in our schools. Our schools are in a chronic state of underfunding. We could be investing that money in making college tuition more affordable. We could be investing that money in extending health care coverage to the folks who still don't have it. I mean, as we started the show off, that's still a need that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
We could be investing that money giving expanding the earned income tax credit for working families whose jobs pay too little. So there's no shortage of ways to better spend this money than giving it to those who are already Oregon's richest.
Wow. Well, it would make a nice down payment on a Lexus.
that it would.
Now, is there any indication that people are shifting their filing status in order to take advantage of this, or are people pretty well locked into their organization? And this, you know, is this stimulating people to actually change their financial organization to take advantage of it?
I have not seen any hard data on that. I mean, it's certainly a possibility that some folks would think of changing their incorporation status to take advantage of it. That's possible, although I don't have any numbers on it. What seems to be at the very least to be taking place is we saw a big jump in the cost of this provision from 2015 to 2016. And that may be simply a reflection that more people are finding out about it and thus claiming it on their tax return. So the federal tax provision that also cuts taxes, gives a tax break on pass-through income, is a very complicated one. And so ultimately, you know, to what extent people try to game the system and whatnot, I mean, time will tell, but there's... The federal tax plan has given many opportunities for folks to game the system, and so we'll see.
Now, is there a relationship between the this federal pass-through provision, and does it affect Oregon taxable income in any way?
There's a number of provisions in the federal tax package that affects taxable income, and that's a lot of those provisions, if the federal government changes the definition of taxable income, Oregon automatically connects to them. I mean, Oregon has the option of disconnecting to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the issues that is going to be before the Oregon legislature when it begins to meet in February. The legislative session is just around the corner.
Sure. But the pass-through provision itself probably doesn't affect the Oregon taxes.
That is one of the issues that we are looking at to see whether or not it does. That is actually an excellent question that still needs to be determined, because if it does, it is a high priority to disconnect from it, because it would come with a big cost.
Wow. Well, this is very interesting, Juan Carlos. And if people want to learn more about this issue or anything else at the Oregon Center for Public Policy is doing, how would they do that?
I would invite listeners to check out our website, occpp.org. They can also follow us on Facebook. And everything that we publish, every analysis that we do, is on our website. And even, you know, going back 20 years, so if you want to read about how this tax plan, this provision came about, you can read it on all the work that we did on the grand bargain in 2013. And we're going to be writing about this and analyzing and writing a lot about this issue on the pass-through income tax break, as well as health coverage and many other issues.
Well, I certainly look forward to a little bit more analysis on these competing tax cut plans. It seems like we're all just racing to hand money to wealthy folks, and I'm just scratching my head like crazy on it, so I don't understand it, and I really appreciate you giving us shedding some light on it.
Happy to do so, Mark, we'll stay in touch about this issue.
Great. Thank you very much, Juan Carlos Ordóñez from the Oregon Center for Public Policy. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.